When my son was 5, I took him to Hand to Hand Martial Arts Center to attend a self-defense class for children. One of the exercises required the children to wait in line for their turn to run up to a punching bag lying on the floor and stomp on it. When my son got to the bag, he burst into tears. Recently, I recalled this story to martial artist Kate, and she said, "I know. The children don't like to think that there's anybody who would want to hurt them." And this stunned me because I was forced to see that I had been completely unconnected to his feelings because that hadn't occurred to me. This was not an isolated instance. I could tell you many stories like this when I was completely insensitive to what was going on with him or displayed an affect completely flat to something that affected him deeply. These were injuries to him that I never acknowledged as such, injuries that invalidated his experience, that made him feel invisible, unloved, and furious, all unconscious. And Alice has helped me see this disease now, after the fact of it. This disease of absence of empathy. And how I infected my son with it. Every morning when I wake up and see they've parked their metal, and morning is in quotes because sometimes my day starts at 8 o'clock the previous night. I go to bed earlier and earlier these days. I found, believe it or not, they use the sun as a weapon against us and, so I try to maximize my nighttime as well as try to minimize my sleep time. And did I mention I'm in survival time? Anyway, every morning when I wake up and see they've parked their metal as close to my head as possible, even when I park with red color curb to indicate no parking behind me. I feel this fury that someone was willing to do this, intentionally hurt their brothers and sisters, because after years of this routine, these functionaries know exactly what they're doing. And the signs, messages on my car let them know exactly where they are. The injury from EMF weapons mimics more than physical diseases, it mimics the psychic injury of absence of empathy. It's invisibility, which is the chief injury of class, invisible injury, which all of us underclass suffer as a direct result of the quote-unquote normal operation of the system. Because class itself is an injury we don't acknowledge consciously. We don't experience consciously as an injury until we do. Until we help each other to. Because it's an invisible injury, it mirrors perfectly our earliest injury underclass. All of these things are invisible injuries. Our earliest injury of being completely unseen. As infants, not having yet acquired speech, this lack, when confronted with abusive speech, and that's another invisible quality or another example of the invisibleness. People don't acknowledge the use of speech is this weapon against baby. As infants not having yet acquired speech, this lack, when confronted with abusive speech, necessarily puts us and can make us feel, eventually, if it's a recurring event, at a disadvantage when speech is used as a weapon against us, either by being false or by being used to force, compel us. When this happens, it prompts many questions, and Samuel Butler explored this situation and reaction in The Way of All Flesh. He was the first one to sort of really get me thinking more deeply about that, this question. He's a very deep person. We are gifted at birth with the knowing of how to confront threats to our equanimity, our vegetative balance, that phrase Alice uses to connote a natural process of biological growth. And so we're prepared for that. We are not prepared for the unnatural and perverse circumstance of a threat to both from a parent, from someone who is supposed to want for us to be as powerful as we want ourselves to be. When what happens to the child is the opposite of this, not wanting us to be powerful, quite a conundrum is presented to the infant. It finds itself in a lose-lose position, and a central and telling obsession of powers is figuring out how to accomplish this, put us in lose-lose situations. A strategy which expresses powers, repetition, compulsion, and which we definitely see repeated in their actions toward those over whom they have the power of control. And none of this, as powerful beings endowed with a power we all start out with, none of this sits well in us. But particularly the invisibility of the whole process, the fact that it's never acknowledged, never the occasion for explanation. It's as if nothing ever happened. An injury done to us about which the perpetrator is oblivious makes us furious. And not just because it re-stimulates our original experience of empathy's absence that we received, quote unquote, from our parents when we were infants, but because it's an ongoing offense under class, this imposed invisibility, this imposed lack of empathy, an ongoing violation of our original wholeness, our experience of our common being, our oneness, empathy as living things. Power's tactic of ensuring its complete invisibility when diffused throughout the injury of class sets us up for endless mutual mistreatment, blaming, abusiveness, accusation, sets us up for endless heartache. Because we want someone to blame. We want to restore balance, equanimity, fairness to our lives, and ultimately to our global human society. So, as Alice says, our anger is needed to expose wounds to healing. But we are learning that this process of exposure and conscious grieving is needed not just in our interpersonal relations, but in power-made class relations overall. That we need to address power's totalitarian system itself. And the circularity of the tactics operation is yet another way we see the totalitarian reality with which we are dealing. But we're not yet having the discussion we need about the injury of class. So when we experience it, that amorphous wound of force and invisibility that causes such rage in us, it is the person closest to us who seems to have caused it, because they, all of us, manifest it without knowing it, which ensures continuous repetition of the wound, continuing non-discussion of it, continuing rage, and continuing viability for the tactic of invisibility. And when our invisible wound is never owned by those who are its immediate cause, our sense of injury is continuously re-stimulated, and we continuously seek others to blame for it. It's the continuousness of the injury, I think, that precipitates the need to find a way to forgiveness, because the mutilation of our love is intolerable. But an indirect path focused on interpersonal relations is insufficient is insufficient for the eradication of the ongoing injury. We have to address the injury of class directly. And by this means, simultaneously, in discussions of the story of class and power's tactics of containment, its strategy of invisibility particularly, can we out the use of EMF weaponry?